So these files are very nostalgic, if you like, to me, because I produced effectively these diagrams back in 1983 when I first proposed that hypercubes could be used on more generally parallel machines for this problem. And when I went through this, essentially the argument, which in probably a less elegant fashion of the previous foils, people told me, well, that's all very well, Jeffrey, for such simple problems as Jacobi iteration, where you have a nearest neighbor algorithm, but real problems are different. The update of a given point doesn't just depend on the nearest grid point, it depends on next to nearest neighbors, or its long range forces, etc. And so I sort of, I guess initially just grunted, but actually when you look into the situation, you will find, as I pointed out to you last time, that actually Laplace's equation of the nearest neighbor structure is the hardest example. It has actually the general form, this elegant fact that the overhead only depends on local parameters, but the size of that overhead as the ratio is actually largest for Laplace's example. And that's a little counterintuitive, and this foil is meant to which is interesting. I should update this. We'll have to see how we do this in the audio. It's clear that there's a missing foil here, which is a critical foil, unfortunately. I will add it and correct the audio appropriately, which shows, but anyway, so at least you'll have that on record when we get all this done. Because the next foil, cases D and E, are really the crunch line, which show what's going on. So all this foil points out is that at least the trend is interesting, namely that the problem I've just done for you is situation A, where we have the structure. Here we have a processor. We again, it's 4x4 grid points, and for a nearest neighbor, so-called stencil or template, which is shown here, we get this overhead, which is 1 over root n times t comma over t calc. So what do we do in B? Well, we actually do the stencil, which mathematically, when you do linear algebra, you'll find out is the correct stencil for doing the next best approximation to del squared with fourth order differences instead of second order differences. You will find that you need to transmit, it's a very simple analysis, you don't just transmit the neighboring points, you transfer the neighboring points and the next to neighboring points. It's sort of obvious that if your grid point depends both on the neighbor and the next to neighbor, here that would need this, which won't turn out too good on the audio, will it? The net result is that the total communication is obviously twice as much. So that's why people, when I first described this in lunch in the Caltech cafeteria, told me that there was going to be a problem when you went to more complicated stencils. Obviously, the communication is going to go up. However, the critical observation is that although it's clear the communication is going to go up, the overhead is communication divided by computing. And as soon as I go to this stencil, which is now a 9-point stencil instead of a 5-point stencil, roughly the amount of computing is also doubled, because in order to calculate the initial point, I have to actually average the results with actually different coefficients of 8 points. And because they're different coefficients, it's actually a little more than twice the computation, because I have to multiply by 2 coefficients, not by 1. So you actually find the overhead is reduced. The overhead goes down by 10%. So the interesting feature of Laplace's equation is it is true that the communication is least, but it's also true that the ratio of computing to communication is least, because it's such a simple algorithm, it does very little computing. So diagram C actually does a simple stencil, which is again a 9-point stencil, which is essentially all the neighbors around the point. So that's what you'd get if you were doing a molecular dynamics problem where these were atoms sitting at sites, and then the fourth law of these atoms was such that you just included all the points in some sort of in the immediate neighborhood. Now this is quite interesting because you actually, apart from these corner points, transmit essentially the same number of points as up there, but because we have an 8-point stencil, or 9 with the middle one, the actual overhead has now gone down. So when we've done this more complicated algorithm, which has these corner points as well, the overhead has decreased. And with this foil I have to add, which actually now makes this radius of interaction bigger, you will find as you make the radius of interaction bigger, you will find the communication, which is linear in the number of points that are included, increases, but the computational load increases faster, and you'll find this overhead just gradually decreases. And so actually, of all the examples you can simply think of, Jacobi iteration, or this Laplace update, or this is actually the update for the simplest spin models, is actually the worst. It's got the highest overhead. And so this property of good performance and the property of scaling did not come from the nearest neighbor structure. It came because it's present for any false law of any range. They all have the property that the speed up has the is a dependent only on a grain size, only over t comma over t cap with a constant. All these algorithms have this feature, and so it is a universal characteristic of all these problem classes of essentially entities interacting with neighboring entities with various different laws for deciding what the neighboring entities are. And it is not a special feature of Laplace's example. All those problems will give you right answers. So that's quite interesting, say, for numerical analysis. It says it doesn't matter what differencing law you use or whether you use finite elements or finite differences, this structure will always be true. So you're always sort of underlying, you're bound to get scaling parallelism. That's as long as you implement it correctly. This is only true if you implement it correctly. And actually, we can even discuss the correct implementation here, because this is quite relevant for compilers. In calculating the fact that the communication of a calculation was essentially the same in these two cases, I assumed that I did these sort of guard rings of actually twice the size and just communicated this total of 32 points. Now, I could write the program in a very bad fashion, and notice that this point here, which is outside the processor but next to it, is needed for the update of this point and this point, namely of 2 points inside the processor. So if I wrote a simple algorithm, however non-optimal, I might be tempted to communicate this point twice, once when I'm updating this point and once when I'm updating that point. And then I would get a very bad scaling law. So the intuition that things get worse when you make the size of the interaction large actually comes from the fact that you're really calculating, you're intuitively calculating every point weighted by the number of times it's used. But if you write, and this is why I say when you write compilers, it's extremely important to do an analysis of finding out exact how much, or if you're a user doing it yourself, really what information you need for this round of the update, and you count the points once and once only, and you just communicate all the points. You do not do the analysis by taking each point that needs to be updated, bring everything in, do the update, throw the information away, and start again. That would give you a very bad performance. So it's critical to do this analysis. The reason we get good scaling and relatively controlled overheads is because we do the minimal amount of communication. Of course, if we were doing this feature that points are reused, is actually, of course, important in all computer architectures. You probably are aware that any microprocessor today has very large caches on it. So what's the purpose of a cache? The purpose of a cache is to say when you do a computation, the data is stuck in this fast cache, which is nowadays going to be on chip, and then you do not have to go to main memory when you reuse it. So the theory behind caches is that in a lot of computation, information is reused. So what I'm saying here is when we do parallel computing, the key to getting good performance is to analyze the reuse and make certain you communicate things once and once only. So effectively what we're saying is we're caching the data.